Welcome to Ask an Atheist, a weekly educational call-in program dedicated to atheism, skeptical inquiry, and the separation of church and state. My name is Casey Dorn, and with me, my co-host today, Scott Leopold. Thanks for joining me, sir.
Great to be here.
It's been a long time in the running, so I'm really glad to get to sit next to you and finally hash this bit out.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
But before we get on, we're going to try to get on quickly with the topic because it's something that we're both going to love. You have some announcements about SCAN and our predicament.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the announcement is that, the end of SCAN is coming. Next year, we're going to be making some changes, but tomorrow, Monday, the 22nd of November, the Seattle City Council will actually formally decide. And we're pretty convinced that they're going to decide to defund SCAN starting December 31st. So beginning January 1st, SCAN TV, that's cable channel 77 here in the Pacific Northwest, will be going dark. We're planning to continue Ask an Atheist, and we've got some really great, exciting plans. Can't share the details with you yet, but there's going to be a benefit show at the Tacoma Comedy Club, and that's tacomacomedyclub.com, Thursday, December 9th. You can get more details at the www.askanatheist.tv website for exact time and location. We want you to know that Ask an Atheist is very popular, and we're going to be continuing this probably in a more professional format, possibly a commercial format professionally.
Okay. Let's see. The next thing we might want to get to is, well, we've got news, but the news is all centered on your topic. And so, why don't we just go forward and start talking about it?
Let's jump into the news.
So the first bit here, and this is from Americans United, a group of Christian fundamentalist secondary schools in California has failed in its legal battle to force public universities to grant credit for academically questionable courses. The U.S. Supreme Court, without comment, declined the case last month. The court's inaction leaves in place a federal appellate decision against the religious schools. Institutions of higher learning in the University of California system require that the students take certain high school courses to be admitted. Officials in the system said that some of the courses offered by Christian schools covering history, science, English, not math, I would assume, did not measure up and refused to recognize them. The Christian schools sued, claiming discrimination. In court, the lawyers for the Christian academies insisted that they offer, quote, standard course content, unquote, but add, quote, a religious viewpoint in each subject. This is reported by the San Francisco Chronicle. And so this is later on it says, the English classes students did not often read novels or plays, but relied on an anthology of quote, Christian classics that reflected fundamentalist dogma. So this is a fantastic instance of where the court works the way it should if there's a publicly funded institution like the UC system, which comes out of people's taxes, for us not to run an equivalence between the history course that you would have had and the history course that is packed with a lot of very pro, religious dogma, literature and slanted viewpoints that, people shouldn't be they shouldn't be represented as a secular society.
Yeah. The conflict of interest is always, balancing private interest versus religious. And here's another example of where you have religious groups, it's always Christians, it's never any other group, trying to push their religious agenda into the education system. This goes right back to the Kitzmiller versus Dover Board of Education issue with the intelligent design. They're not going to give up, and this is another example of how they're always going to be pushing their religious agenda into our public school system. It's not going away.
Right. So if you want to talk about this, and I'm sure a lot of you do, our number is here to call in. You can talk to us. It's 206-421-5856.
5658.
Excuse me. 5658. We'll have that number up as soon as we possibly can. but this is obviously our favorite pet topic, and we would love to hash this out. But this is definitely a story where the system does what it should do. The system should work to make sure that, we aren't directly funding someone's religious particular bent and trying to make that equivalent with secular sources. This is a victory for us.
It is, so, and it's another example of the system of checks and balances in place between government and religious organizations, religious forces out there that would like to dominate politics, education, and so on. I think the first time I ever encountered the concept of a conflict of interest, remember the Planet of the Apes, there was Dr. Zaius, who was both the defender of the faith and Minister of Science. What a great introduction. That was back in high school, but that's a great one. Now, that was the good. Here's the bad, moving right through this. The First Circuit Court rules in favor of godly pledge. This is from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. So we see this as bad news. The United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit on Friday issued a ruling against the Freedom From Religion Foundation's challenge of a New Hampshire statute requiring daily recitation of the Godly Pledge of Allegiance. The challenge, the federal challenge, was brought by attorney Michael Newdow on behalf of Freedom From Religion Foundation and New Hampshire Freedom From Religion Foundation members with school-aged children in November of 2007. The lawsuit challenged a 2002 law requiring recitation of the pledge and requiring that those who do not participate, quote, be required to respect the rights of those peoples electing to participate. The record shows that the law was intended to further the policy of teaching our country's history to the elementary and secondary pupils of the state, unquote. The history of the pledge shows that it was secular from its 1892 inception until religious lobbies tampered with it in 1954, said the foundation co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor. The American Religious Identification Survey 2008 showed that the Northeast region is the least religious area, with 22% identifying as non-religious. New Hampshire is the least non-religious state, with a whopping 29% identifying as non-religious. Yeah,
that's shocking.
And even the American Religious Identification Survey in 2001 showed that 13% of the adult population was non-religious. So it's unfortunate that they've gone this route. Because if you can say, one nation under God, what's the difference between that and one nation under Allah? Whose word do we get to use? And
Right. Why
does under God have to be in there? This is a 1954 inception.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, in the pledge, isn't that the word capitalized? I think it is. I mean, if we were to see what it was officially written, the pledge itself written out, I think the God is capitalized, we're not talking about lowercase g God,
yeah.
Like, you know,
how do
gods,
you say, how do you
like
say
multiple
God
gods.
In lowercase?
An uppercase G God, to me, signifies that it's the monotheistic God.
Yeah.
The one God, necessarily.
If anybody knows how to pronounce the word God with a lowercase as opposed to pronouncing it with an uppercase, I'd like to know. That would be really useful. Maybe that would have helped the court decide this case.
I was going to say, we have a resident linguist, Becky. She'd probably be able to tell us. There's probably a very subtle, like, palate difference between the capital G and the lower G.
Yeah, it might be an alveolar, it might be a fricative.
we're splitting hairs here.
Yeah.
No, but I do find that interesting is that the parts of the Constitution is, and I'm blanking at this moment, is that it exists to protect the minority from the majority.
It does.
This is the equal, what is it called? The equal protection clause, essentially. It's to say that just because someone might be trapped in a political, racial, ethnic, or ideological minority, that they still have equal protection underneath the law. That's also something that's in our in our Constitution. And even though, we're 13%, let's just say non-believers, explicitly a 13% of the country, that still shouldn't matter. We should not be subjected to the religious will of the rest of the majority simply because we're the minority.
Yeah, the tyranny of the majority.
Exactly.
And like it says here, you know, it shouldn't be okay for the government or for the court to exclude nearly a third of the state's population in a daily school ritual that turns non-believers into political outsiders. I mean, it's basically another example of the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
People shouldn't be required to do this.
I was just listening, it's totally off topic, but I was just listening to John Hodgman. You know him? He's the resident expert on The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
He's that geeky-looking guy. He plays the Mac on the commercials.
Oh, yeah,
that's John
Hodgman. That's,
He has this new bit where he does this Judge John Hodgman, and so it's like the People's Court, except for that the topics brought up to him, and it's just a podcast, are things like, the one I was listening to was, is a machine gun a robot? So, you know, things that don't, you know, that don't, these aren't questions that really need to be answered, but they're hilarious. And they make each of the people sign in, and they say, to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And he says, so help me God, or whatever. I just thought that should be the way we should do it in our courts. So I should mention, if you want to call in and talk to us, it's area code 206-421-5658. I got that right. Ha ha. And then, this is Ask an Atheist. I think we're having a little technical difficulties, so we'll just say it again, Ask an Atheist, which we are. And our topic today is separation of church and state. So let's do the last bit here.
Yes, that was the good and the ugly. Yes. Now, or the good and the bad, you get
so
the ugly.
So I'll get the ugly. So a federal judge blocked Oklahoma officials Monday from implementing a voter-approved referendum. This is a voter-approved referendum.
Right.
That singles out Islamic religious law, or Sharia, as a threat to the state. Chief Judge Vicki Miles LaGrange, yada, 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 set a November 22nd hearing to consider whether the Save Our State Amendment violates the U.S. Constitution. Until then, she issued a temporary restraining order preventing the state election board from certifying state question, passed by 70% on November 70%. So essentially, the measure directs the state courts to ignore, quote, legal precepts of other nations or cultures, end quote, and specifically forbids consideration of, quote, international law or Sharia law, unquote. I actually don't know why they decided to put international law on there.
Talk about a red herring.
It does. A Muslim activist in Oklahoma City, Munir Awad, filed a suit last week alleging that the major violated the First Amendment, which forbids the government from promoting an establishment of religion or interfering with the free exercise thereof. And really, what comes out here is this is institutionalized discrimination. I think that from the most practical standpoint, it's not likely that even if you had a community, let's just say you have a hypothetical community, say somewhere in suburban Michigan, where we have the highest percentage of Muslim Americans. Let's say even if you were able to elect an entire city council and a mayor and their state their state and federal representatives that were all Muslim, there is no possible way at which they could enact what is essentially a strictly religious law in place of our secular legal system. Our country is specifically built to have a secular legal system, which can't be overrun because one particular sectarian group decides, well, no, we actually think we should be able to burn witches and make that secular law.
It solves a problem that doesn't exist. It's an imaginary problem in the first place, and it reflects just exactly how ignorant these people are. And it passed with what percent? It was
70%.
70%
right.
Of the people of the state of Oklahoma passed this law. It's amazing. It also reminds me how, when people of religious faith feel violated, they sue for, they sue for the right to discriminate. They want to hire people of their faith to work in their churches or their faith-based initiatives, but they sue for the right to discriminate on that basis.
Right.
And yet they're the first people that will cry foul anytime the Supreme Court or any other court for that matter makes a ruling against them. If they really had true faith in their religious convictions, they wouldn't need the fiat of government to get behind them. You know, their faith would sustain them.
And I think looking at this, the flip side, I always think that what happens if I always say this to to people is that you always put yourself on the opposite side. Let's say you are in you're in any other town and small town in the United States, and just because there were a very large group of people who were able to vote in something that basically said, it is illegal to be a Christian within the borders of here. You can't display a crucifix on your back of your car. You can't have it displayed even on private property. You would hate that. Those Christians would hate to have those restrictions. In fact, they would think that they were the most unfair laws they could have ever imagined. Because why would you ever make a law just discriminating against somebody's arbitrary characteristic about someone? Surely they make a choice. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's discrimination against a distinction of choice that they make about themselves. But no Christian would ever. That would never fly. They would want to go to the Supreme Court. They would say this is unfair. So they rarely do they ever. Want to take the flip side of this case and think about how fair it would be if they were on the other end. And that's precisely why separation of church and state.
Yep.
It's precisely why.
Absolutely. This gets back to the re-Christianization of American culture, the attempts to destroy, science and fact-based teaching of science in high schools. The Discovery Institute is behind all of this intelligent design stuff. And why is it that only Christians are interested in intelligent design? You don't see any other groups fighting for this. They complain that they talk about teach the controversy. There's no controversy. It isn't science. It needs to be peer-reviewed. They keep trying to bypass that process. Now, they have people at the Discovery Institute who will say, well, it is peer-reviewed. Well, yeah, it's reviewed by their own peers.
Right.
But that's not the kind of peer-reviewed that withstands public scrutiny. The whole point of the Discovery Institute's efforts behind intelligent design is to re-Christianize American schools, destroy scientific materialism, and basically return the country to a Christian-based theocracy. Or not a theocracy. It wasn't a theocracy, but they want
right.
a theocracy.
Right.
So this is all about separation of church and state, folks. And if you have a comment about this one way or the other, we'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
The number's 206-421-5658.
Right. And this is Ask an Atheist. If you guys don't know what you're tuning into, we tune in here. It's every Sunday live from 3 to 4 p.m. And we want to take your calls 206-421-5658. So I think we're done with the news here. And I think this is a perfect segue for us to just move straight into the introduction to your topic. So if you'd be so kind.
Yes, absolutely.
To take us down down memory lane.
Yeah.
Down the rabbit hole here.
Well, by way of introduction, I think the most important thing we can start with is, you know, what is the separation of church and state? It is the same thing as the First Amendment. It's the most important amendment in the Constitution. And I'm going to read it verbatim so that there's no question about what we're talking about. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, religious conservatives and the teabaggers and all their ilk love to talk about how the separation of church and state is found nowhere in the Constitution.
Right.
Well, you know what? That's true. Murder is not found in the Constitution. There's right. a whole lot of things I could say that are not found in the Constitution. The point is not, are the words separation of church and state in the Constitution? It's
right.
the concept. In fact, that very concept was fantastically demonstrated with the most spectacular ignorance I think I've ever seen with the Christine O'Donnell
sure.
debate with Chris Coombs.
Right. So she was, just to set it up for our folks who haven't seen it, and I don't think we have the video to show it, but she was essentially in a debate with her opponent, and her opponent was...
Chris
Coons was explaining, I think because she's an outright theocrat, she was explaining to him, or he was trying to explain to him, separation of church and state is in the First Amendment. And then she is like, she has this sort of vapid laugh where
really?
She's saying, really?
Is it yeah. the First Amendment?
The
Are
First
you
Amendment?
Sure?
Where, you know, I think, as we were talking about before, later, her sort of handlers, Christine O'Donnell handlers, were trying to spin this afterwards because she was being laughed at from the audience. I mean, there were people that were there who were laughing at her.
Oh,
and they tried to spin this to say, oh, well, no, the words separation of church and state aren't literally in there. But no, does not the separation of church and state as a concept come from another letter by, you're going to say this later, I bet you,
yes.
by the guy who wrote most of the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson.
Yes, Thomas Jefferson, and it actually originally James Madison, but yeah, let's get to the original words. Jefferson wrote a letter to the Danbury Baptists, who were concerned about the state of Connecticut, which had its own state religion, basically overwhelming and taking advantage of, abusing the Danbury Baptists. And Jefferson's response to them was as follows. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declares that their legislature should, quote, make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church
right.
and state. Now, it couldn't be any clearer than that, but
right.
we've also got quotes from the second president, James Madison, who said, the purpose of the separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries. And indeed, most of the people who came to the United States in the early days were coming here because of religious persecution. So that the whole idea of this being established as a Christian nation and the whole idea of this, the founding fathers being Christians, please.
Right.
I was in a church in Bellevue the last couple of weeks where they're talking about the founding fathers. They talked about Madison, Washington, even Jefferson being theists. Oh my God, that is so far from the truth. It's a complete misrepresentation. Let's go back to Washington's words. If they are good workmen, they may be of Asia, Africa, or Europe. They may be Mohammedans, Jews, or Christians of any sect, or they may be atheists. This is George Washington's letter to Tingman asking him to secure a carpenter and a bricklayer for his Mount Vernon estate, March 24th, 1784. And that's quoted from, Ed and Michael Buckner, quotations that support the separation of church and state.
Right.
And these are just a few examples, and these aren't taken out of context, like we hear from so many of our theists, from the theists' point of view.
Right. Well, I think the most important part there is that, yes, the founding fathers did have a notion of... there being a spectrum of belief and unbelief. Again, you're watching Ask an Atheist. We don't have our technical voodoo along the screen here, so we'll just do it out loud. Our phone number is 206-421-5658. So if you want to call in and joust with us a little bit, we're happy to do some back and forth.
Absolutely.
We especially want you, if you actually think that this is a Christian nation and that we need to be getting back to the way the founding fathers intended, as I've seen uncountable number of times. I should stop reading comments on YouTube. I really should stop reading comments on YouTube and on articles on very small.
Not good for your blood pressure.
Provincial TV stations that want to do polls about whether or not, you know, we should put the Ten Commandments on display at someone's school.
Yeah.
You know, I just, yeah.
I've got questions for people who think that this is a Christian nation. Just some basic things. You know, going back to the re-Christianization, attempts to re-Christianize American public schools comes in the form of creationism, also known as intelligent design, supported by right-wing Christian think tanks like the Discovery Institute, and only Christians want ID. Why? That's my first question. Another one is, if this is a Christian nation, and I hear so many of you theists out there saying that it is, and I've seen so many videos on it, and we have no shortage of politicians who talk like that, the most recent example being Christine O'Donnell. Why doesn't it say in the Constitution that we're somehow a Christian nation, or at least a God-fearing nation? It doesn't mention anything about it. The word God and Christ appear nowhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, Christianity as a religion doesn't have a monopoly on a God, necessarily. If you were to specifically say we were a Christian nation, they would have had to have mentioned Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, what religion are you talking about? If you're talking about, well, I think we might have narrowed down a little bit. If you're using God in the singular, maybe you can make a case that it boils it down to sort of monotheistic religions. You might be able to be making that case. But if this is specifically a Christian nation in letter, then why isn't Jesus Christ not mentioned anywhere in any of our founding documents?
That's right. And I also have a
big... Answer that question!
Answer that question. And I have a big problem with the United States military, especially the Air Force, but all of them. And I served in the United States.
Why specifically the Air Force?
Because the Air Force right now is, they have been doing a lot of proselytizing. Mm. They've been putting a lot of pressure on their members to convert. It was made clear to me when I was in the service that, you know, here, read this book. And it was something, The Power of Positive Thinking by, what's that guy's name? Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm.
That and other books. And it was given to me framed in terms of, this will help you with your next promotion. I can't think of a better example of, you know, be more like me and I'll make sure you get your promotion. And I really have a problem with the military with that. Rock the Base event that they had last month, which I believe Americans United and a couple of other organizations wrote a letter petitioning them to stop, to not do this. They did it anyway, and I don't know what the fallout's going to be, but if you're outraged like that, we want to hear from you. It looks like we do have a caller.
Right.
Alan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We hear you great. What's your question?
Hey, what do you got for us, Alan?
All right, I wanted to come in on the topic earlier of religion being used to influence the schools.
Yes.
I'm an atheist science teacher, middle school, like 7th grade, 8th grade level, science, paleontology, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
And when I first came to the school, there was no one else in my 10-person science department who taught evolution. Everyone was too afraid to actually teach what was actually in the guidelines, in the Florida guidelines. Everyone was like, all right, I'll give them a worksheet on one day, and we'll teach it. It's not a Christian school. It was a public school. But I had to go from door to door saying, all right, here's my copy of Walking with Beasts. Show this, show this. And I had to basically teach the other teachers about evolution. Some of them didn't know some of the concepts.
So this was a public school, and I didn't catch I'm guessing you're in the greater Seattle area, I assume, right? The greater Puget Sound area?
No, actually South Florida area.
Oh, South Florida. Oh, well, welcome to the show. I suppose, in a joking manner, Alan, I suppose, with everything that's been slung at Florida for being the backward state since the beginning of the 21st century, I guess I'm not surprised. But again, go ahead, Alan, please.
We're in the most cosmopolitan part of Florida, South Florida, but the further north you go, the further south you are. I was just at a teacher's conference where they mentioned that, like, in North Florida, near, if you know, or Ocala, Orlando, like, the Mouse Kingdom, you can't even mention, like, evolution or the Big Bang without being really guarded.
Well, I suppose Florida is still in the south. I guess that's really shocking. I've never heard it before about a public school teachers that didn't know about evolution at all. I mean, here in Seattle, I've been working, volunteering at, say, middle schools and asked science teachers and said, you know, Seattle's a pretty progressive place. And I asked them and said, do you ever have any conflicts with teaching evolution? Do you ever have kids that stand up and say, I don't want to be taught this? And, one of the women, she responded to me, she said, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have any problem teaching evolution. And I've never had a problem with a student saying, I don't want to learn this because this is not what I believe. So, I think we're just two worlds apart, Alan, unfortunately, I think.
Oh, no.
I will say thank you for keeping up the, faith and, the faith, I would assume. Thank you for keeping up the wall of the separation of church and state. The faith in the wall of the separation of church and state. Because we need more people like you, obviously.
Thank you very much. Keep up the good show.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Talk to you later. Look at the magic of television. Here,
technology.
206-421-5658. We are Ask an Atheist. We are atheists. You can ask us things. That's why we're here.
Yes. Now, I had some really cool video clips prepared, but due to technical difficulties, we won't be able to show them to you today. But I do want to describe some of them and encourage you to go to the internet and take a look at these.
We can link these on our site afterwards. So if we're not able to see them now, you can go back, visit our site. See all the things we have in store for the future, as well as view the things we couldn't show in here. So
that was a real eye-opener, and I found this a few days ago. It's called The Bible Riots of 1844. In long story short, in Philadelphia, in the early 19th century, there were a lot of immigrants coming in.
I'd rather prefer short story long, if you could.
Yeah, really.
No, go on. Sorry.
But there were a lot of immigrants coming in to our shores to work, and a lot of Irish Catholics. And there was a big Protestant reaction to it. A lot of them were treated the Catholics very poorly, considered them to be the scum of the earth. And eventually, there a riot broke out in which an innocent bystander got shot. And this is all because the Protestants had one version of the Bible that was taught in the schools. The fact that they were teaching or reading the Bible in schools wasn't controversial at the time. In fact, it was standard practice to read verses from the Bible as part of their normal academic activities. The Catholics wanted a more Catholic-friendly version of it, and eventually tensions grew, and a riot broke out, and when it was all over, about 30 people were hurt. One person was shot, killed on the spot, and about, I think it was close to 100 Catholic homes were burned and completely destroyed, and I'm sure that they damaged a lot of churches in the process. So that, to me, is a good example of why you need to keep church and state, you know, separate. So that's called the Bible Riots of 1844 in Philadelphia.
And even though we're talking about something that ended up happening in 1844, it's not as if we haven't seen these sorts of religiously motivated hysteria happening. So I would say the Quran burning, the guy, the Pastor Jones, is that Terry Jones?
His
name is?
Yeah, more religious hysteria.
I mean, certainly there weren't that wasn't an instance where we were literally talking about people murdering each other, but we were talking about people that were so incensed by their religious bent that they wanted to go out and basically make a statement that was essentially a type of incitement. It was, mm-hmm. in as much as I think someone who believes in the First Amendment, and we've said this many times on the show, is that while I think it was absolutely disgusting and not necessary, I would never want them to draft a law stopping Terry Jones or anyone else from burning a Quran publicly if they wanted to, so long as it was their own property.
Yep.
But I would say to him, that's a stupid thing to do because this isn't helping the dialogue, you know? But it's that reaction. It's that, the Bible riots were in 1844. It kind of seemed a little bit like 1844 then. It kind of seemed a little bit like fire and brimstone preachers who really want to get people who really, they need that attention so much that they want to, they want to make such a spectacle that they're willing to go out and cause chaos.
It scares the daylights out of me to think what kind of nation we would be living in if we actually did have a Christian nation and what kind of laws we would pass. There was a video, there's actually several videos on Sharia law. The one I was going to show, and I think it probably is good that we can't show it, because this one was a man who was caught stealing, had his right hand surgically removed as punishment. Perfectly healthy guy, but the punishment under Sharia law is that you lose a hand. And we can find no shortage of examples in the Bible where in the Old Testament and the New Testament where you do something wrong, you know, an eye for an eye, the whole thing. If we had religious law in this country, how would that be any different from Sharia law in Afghanistan or Iran?
Right. And this was sort of part of one of the news stories where we said, which is that, you know, the sort of fear, the fear factor, the sort of fear that people are inculcated with because they, you know, this is one of the things that makes it sort of hard for me to take, is the fact that there are videos like this where you're kind of seeing the ugly part about a very backwards culture, a culture that really hasn't quite addressed what really is fair punishment, is proportional punishment for crime, and it's based on old doctrine that most nations have decided, yeah, maybe it's not a proportional punishment for someone stealing to maim them for life, you know.
Yeah.
My sort of problem with this sort of things, and of course I want to be against when societies are doing horrific things to punish things that are what we would consider otherwise trivial. I would personally people who want to burn their daughter's genitals with hot rocks, I think those people should go to jail. I literally do think those people should end up going to jail. You should not be able to hide behind a doctrine behind that. But what I'm not willing to do at this point, I'm not willing to want to blanket exclude whole cloth and entire people, because that there are a segment that happen to identify with their religion that happen to behave in ways that we consider to be uncivilized.
Yeah.
You know? So that also, I found it very interesting that part of the wording of that was, that it was international law and Sharia law. That's a totally different political question, because we do have statutes of international law that have to do with what happens when nations making war with each other. So it just may be one of those things where certain concepts are being demonized by ignorant, very, very ignorant people.
Yep.
We are Ask an Atheist. You can call us in. The number here, as you might see, brilliantly displayed here on state-of-the-art, this is state-of-the-art paper here. You may not know it, but we spent thousands of dollars to bring this to you here, this technology. It's 206-421-5658. We're Ask an Atheist. Call us, ask a question. We want to talk with you. We want to hear more about your, especially if you think that, what do you think, we should integrate parts of Sharia law into the United States law? I want to hear what your justification is.
Well, I've got a question for people who'd like to see Christian law implemented in the United States. If you, whether you're an atheist or a Christian or none of the above, I'd like to hear your idea of what the United States would look like under Christian law, good or bad. I'd like to hear what you think the advantages or disadvantages would be, and how that would be different from the life that we're enjoying now. Because all you have to do is look. In fact, there was a video. One of the videos I was going to show is this very interesting interview with Sarah Palin, and then right after her with Joe Biden. And it was, Katie Couric was interviewing them, asking, "What is your interpretation of the separation of church and state?" And Sarah Palin gave kind of a wishy-washy answer, showing that, number one, she didn't really understand the concept, and sort of, I think, sort of placating the religious right that, you know, she thinks that this is a Christian nation. Joe Biden, on the other hand, answered it just exactly the way it should have been answered, which was, all you have to do is take a look at those nations where they have no separation of church and state, where right. the church is the state. Places right. like Iran, Afghanistan, or you could even argue North Korea, the kind of dictatorship they have here, sure. the worship of Kim Jong-il.
Turkmenistan's a good
Turkmenistan,
example of that.
Turkmenistan, yeah.
Where there is a religion based around the state, you know, not the other way around, but literally.
What would this country look like if this were a Christian nation based on biblical laws? What a scary thought.
I don't know. I think it would be really hard to, it's because, as we always say, that it's the Rorschach test or the big book of multiple choice. Because we have that pesky Old Testament attached to our New Testament, there are all those things like in Leviticus and Exodus that we kind of don't want to talk about. You know, there's some of those things we just don't want to talk about because no one's ever going to think it's acceptable for, you know, for their kids to have to stone their kids to death,
well,
to be required to stone their kids to death if they're unruly, you know.
Male circumcision is perfectly legal and has been for centuries. Would female circumcision be legal in the United States? Would we allow
right.
that? I mean, that's mutilation. And
call us and tell us, 206-421-5658. We are Ask an Atheist, and here we are atheists wanting to be asked these questions. Well, let's move along, because I know that you've actually got some other great points around separation of church and state that we haven't got to yet.
Let's see here. I'd like to find out from viewers how you elect the people you vote for. How do you elect your politicians? Do you want to know first and foremost whether they're Christians? Do you want to know how they would react in an emergency? Do you care about fiscal policy? Or is it all about that one ultimate litmus test that everybody cares about, the abortion issue?
Right.
How do you vote? How do you choose your politicians? For me, the abortion, the litmus test of abortion has been an issue. It's been the way I've voted a lot in the past because a lot of the other things that are important to me.
I think it should be important that you necessarily talk about your own way to do it. I think that we're very careful here on this show to be able to say that we're not really a show about politics, but this is the one topic for which politics end up intruding into an issue that we care very deeply about because we just want to see it being fair for all. So if you're going to talk about the litmus test for how you vote, then just make sure that it's the way Scott would vote.
That's right.
Not the way that all atheists would vote, because I think people who are confused about what atheists are kind of think we're all in lockstep about a lot
that's
of things,
right.
and that's not true.
And for me, you know, that is an important issue, but I find that a lot of the values that pro-choice candidates have, and I'm including pro-choice Republicans, a lot of their other values are in line with what's important to me. And to me,
such as
separation of church and state, making sure that we teach science instead of religion in science schools. And it looks like we have a caller, Virginia from Seattle. Virginia, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Virginia.
Welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to speak to the subject at hand. And I've been with a feminist group for several years, and there was times when this has come up for discussion. And most doctors refuse to do such things. They're just horrified. I guess once in a while, somebody gets paid off and they will do it. There was a very wealthy woman that had it done to her daughter. And
are you talking about female circumcision?
Female circumcision,
yeah. Oh, okay. Go on.
But most doctors refuse to do it, even if the party is wealthy, and they also refuse to do it on religious grounds, their own, as well as, you know, it's just plain bad. And I think there is a law prohibiting it now, but I'm not sure on that.
Right, I don't know. I'm not sure. I would be surprised if there were specific local laws prohibiting it by name,
it's
genital
child
mutilation.
Abuse.
Yeah, well, This is the thing that we would have a different, you know, atheists wouldn't necessarily have this opinion. I mean, I'm someone who says that, yes, it is child abuse, and it is, it's terrible, especially because it's non-consensual. I mean, when you circumcise your child here, if you're like one of the majority of Americans who circumcise their male child, it's not like that child has consent in this. They can't say no or yes.
Yeah, but they wait until the girl is...
Right.
Your puberty.
It's the same, but very, very different, obviously, because it's destroying the central bundle of nerve endings that you know, that are the most important parts. And of course, they're much, much older, and they can of course say no. So these whole things are unequivalent. But it should be wrong, and it should be viewed as wrong.
And the shame and humiliation and degradation for the
right.
girl.
But realize that, and this is the point that we often make about this, is whether or not you're talking about just nicking or cutting off entirely parts of a, you know, the female genitalia, or you're talking about cutting the foreskin off of a penis, you're talking about factors that are entirely religiously motivated. In America, the tradition has gone on for long enough that I don't know if people conceive it as being something that they have taken with them from being Christians, but it certainly, both of these instances are motivated purely by religious means. There is, I think the medical evidence for the practical nature of male circumcision is dubious at best. I think there have been...
It's been shown to reduce some infections, but overall, there is debate about that.
Right.
But how do you feel about that? Has that been an issue for you?
Virginia?
Hi. For your family?
My husband refused to let me have my son circumcised, and he's been very angry with me lately because he goes to gym class and the other kids tease him about it. Oh, you know, you've got... Well, I don't know what they say, but anyway, it has to do with the fact that he's not circumcised.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is horrible, but I don't necessarily know if someone being different is a justification for mutilating them permanently. I know that, you know, it is a reason for some people to do things because, quote, that's just the way things are done. But that's a terrible justification because I could use that as my argument for keeping slaves in the 18th century in America. Why do you keep slaves? That's just the way things are done. I think that's a horrible excuse for it. And, like I said, I'm not trying to draw equivalency between male circumcision and female circumcision. I think there's an enormous order of magnitude when it comes to female circumcision because it's much, much more devastating and it's much more mutilating. But like I said, the point that we're trying to make is that both of these things are religiously motivated. And there's no agreed upon, undisputed reason why either of those two things should be performed on someone unconsensually that hasn't had its root in religious doctrine, in religious dogma, actually.
Yeah. And there's also, I think, Virginia, maybe you've thought about this, there's a big difference between why you would circumcise a boy and why you would circumcise a girl. In Ethiopia and in some Arab countries, and I believe it started in Africa, I don't think it was started in Arab states, but the reason for female circumcision is to reduce sexual pleasure, and ultimately it's something that I think the men started because of what I can only call sexual insecurity. They're worried that a woman might have her own libido, her own sex drive. You don't see that in the United States, but we do. I mean, if you can go on the web and see no shortage of examples of where a woman is a man's property. She's basically an appliance, and they can do with the woman as they please. You don't see that here, but there's lots of videos of that. Is your husband's objection religious or medical?
I really don't know. He's dead now. himself to death.
Well, sorry to hear that. Sorry. Virginia, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you calling in and your perspective.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
And then next up, we've got Carol from Shoreline. Hopefully we can get her right back on.
Carol?
Hello.
Carol.
Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Yes. Hello?
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes.
What's your question, Carol?
I want to ask you, what is an atheist and what got you into that atheism? And then when you get through answering me, and I just want to plant the seed into your head, and you don't have to answer me that, but think about it all the rest of your life.
Okay, well, I will tell you what an atheist is and why I am an atheist.
Okay.
An atheism is someone who, if you are asked the question, do you believe in a God, someone who answers either no or I don't know is an atheist. Now, why I'm an atheist is because I don't find that there's enough evidence to support the existence of what I hear are commonly referred to as claims for gods. There's just not enough evidence for him to exist. That's really all there is. I mean, why are you an atheist, Scott?
Well, I was raised in a non-religious Jewish family where religion wasn't important. Even Jewish culture wasn't that important. But I've always been a skeptic, especially, I mean, starting in high school when I started to, when you start meeting people with very, very strong religious convictions and they say things that don't really jive and you hear more and more about these things that are just kind of way out there. As a skeptic, the claims they make are incredible, and as we like to say, incredible claims require incredible evidence, or extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So I've been sort of a skeptic all my life. I would call myself a skeptic or an atheist now because as I examine more and more claims about intelligent design / creationism, which I think are the same thing, as I see the way people are how the religious right behaves, the way they act politically, I become more and more convinced that this can't be true. There's got to be something better.
So I'll ask you, Carol, do you believe in a God, and if you do, why?
Oh, no, I didn't call on what I believe. I'm calling. I just want to ask you folks a question, and why do you folks believe that?
Okay, and you wanted to plant
anyway,
a seed?
What was what I did say is I just want to find out what about atheism and why did you get into it, and then I told you that I was going to plant a seed
so
in your head and
plant
you
away.
Listen to me and
plant away.
Think about it.
Go ahead.
Then that's about all. You know, I don't need no feedback from you folks. I just need to tell you this.
We'd
okay.
love to hear it.
You're an atheist and you don't believe because you're not sure what's going on. And it pays for your sake to take the Bible and read through it and find out these things. Then you'll know if you really believe. Secondly, I'm going to tell you, one day there's a man that's going to come in focus, and he's going to, people like you, those that don't believe in any God or don't believe God or whatever, there's a man that's going to come in focus, and there nobody's going to have control over him. He's going to have control over you.
I know what you're
branch,
so Carol.
Branch,
I know what you're talking about.
Just let me finish my deal. I don't want no feedback or argument because not why I call. What I was going to tell you. One
well, this is Carol. I'm sorry. This is I'm
God
sorry.
Can
we
gonna,
we're gonna
find it.
Come on, guys.
Meet up with
I'm sorry, okay. Carol. We're not actually interested in you railing off with end times eschatology and telling us why that the Antichrist is going to come along and round up Rhodia, all of us atheists, so we can begin the end of the world and the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
We pretty much explained to you why it is that we're atheists, and it wasn't us not knowing anything, because I'm sure, ma'am, that I know the Bible better than you do. And we, as we always say here, it's cliche, but it's true. If you want your children to become atheists, give them the Bible and read it cover to cover, and then you'll explain it. So we're not interested in hearing you preaching, and we're not interested in having you recant what you believe the end of the world is going to be like and how we're contributing to it.
We're not going to convert you either.
Right. We just want to have a conversation. So if you just want to come in and say, no, I'm not going to answer anything, that's not really what this show is about. We gave you why you're atheists. I don't even think you cared about what it is that we are the answer. We just said there's not enough evidence. If evidence were to come along that was compelling, I would believe that God exists. I probably wouldn't worship him. I mean,
yeah.
I think the universe is pretty screwed up as it is. I'm sorry, Carol. Thank you for calling. We appreciate your time. We're just not going to let you, use it as a springboard to filibuster us into talking about how we're servants of the Antichrist.
I do appreciate the call, Carol. One of the points about, you know, why we're skeptic, if I drop a pencil and it fell up instead of down, that would be a really interesting scenario. That would be an incredible thing. And I wouldn't suddenly say, well, it must have done that because God made it do it. I would want to know more about, well, why did it do it? Now, did it do it only just that one time? Can I repeat this experiment and get it to do it more than one time? If so, why is it doing this? Why is it violating what we understand to be the law of gravity, which, by the way, is a theory of gravity? But to take that sudden leap and say, well, I can't explain it, therefore God must have done it,
right,
explains exactly nothing.
Right.
And that is another one of the reasons why I find religion and theists of all stripes to be really hard to give any credibility to, because you don't require evidence.
Right.
You don't have any reality checkpoint.
You know, it's not, and for us, and maybe this is what might be confusing, and you went into this, and you were saying that it's about, you were a skeptic too, and your atheism is part of your skepticism. This sort of argument from ignorance, the we don't know how it happened, thus
therefore,
it must be this, you know, this comes up for the people who aren't familiar with what, oh, we actually have a caller. We should try to fit her in here. We've got Stella from Bellevue. Stella?
Welcome, Stella.
Hi. How's I just want to say, thanks God, I'm an atheist.
Can you shout amen, somebody?
I just have to get a kick out of it.
That's great. So do you have any question for us, or do you just want to give us...
No, I just wanted to do that. You've got enough to talk about.
Oh, okay, thanks, Stella. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the support.
I always say that, and people just look at me real weird. So,
do you do you have a lot of right-wing people in your life that are trying, or I shouldn't say right-wing,
goodness,
actually,
yes.
Do you have a lot of Christians who are always browbeating you and all that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm from Europe. I grew up in a 99.9% Catholic, you know, mm-hmm. and I learned ballet because my preacher pulled me up on my ears so high that I was always on my toes.
Well, thank you for calling in, Stella.
Appreciate that.
A great afternoon.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, as I was going to say, that's hilarious. I'm glad. Thanks for the levity. We appreciate it. I was going to say, the skepticism part is, so we're actually not here just to talk about, as I said on the beginning of the show, that we don't think God exists or we hate him or all this sort of stuff. This is a part of a larger point about skepticism. And our concept of the separation of church and state. Oh my, we got a rapid fire. Nico from Seattle.
Welcome, Nico.
Nico. All right, you're on, Nico. Hello?
I think Nico hung up.
Yes.
What can we do for you?
I'm from Ethiopia. And I just heard your comment about, you know, about circumcision, and I just want to comment about it.
Oh, go ahead.
First of all, about the politician thing, you know, you just discussed about, you know, how we elect them. In my part, I'm not atheist, or I'm not, you know, I don't have any domination of religion. I was Orthodox, you know, when I was grown up.
Uh-huh. Are you agnostic now?
No, I believe in God, but I'm not. Oh. I don't follow any church or any religious.
Non-denominational.
You know, Nico, if you could speak up a little bit, and we're pressed for time, so if you'll just continue on to your point, we can take it.
Okay, anyways, what I'm trying to say is about the circumcision part.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah, that part, you know, I agree with your company over there. What he said, you know, it's a male domination thing, you know. It is not a religious thing. It's not a religious at all. But it's a male domination of, you know, to control the female. That's what it was. And before, you know, previously in Ethiopia, they used to marry, you know, as a young kid, you know, as 5-6 years old and stuff like that, and they grow up, you know, as a kid,
right?
The females, and that's how they control them, not, you know, for the females, you know, not to go to run away,
right?
Such things. So I just want to add up, you know, on that part. Other than that, I don't have any more.
Gotcha. I totally get it, and we also, as being critics of religion, we also say that the problem isn't actually just with religion or the impulse to religion. You can look at Stalin's Russia and say that Stalin didn't force a church, his religious dogma, on other people. In fact, he forbade it. The problem with living in a space like Stalinist Russia is not, the problem wasn't religion, the problem was dogma. So, yeah, right. I think I might have been a little ignorant about some parts of the world where female circumcision is practiced, that some of it may have its religious, certainly that it's rooted in tradition, and and it may be for the purpose of male domination, but it is dogma. It is a practice which is done, which is enforced by authority and cannot be overruled because it is tradition, and that is dogma.
A good point of that is that, you know, Stalin, contrary to popular belief, didn't turn the nation of Russia into a bunch of atheists. Rather, he took fantastic advantage of the church and a very credulous population. That's how he got his power. That's how he achieved a cult of personality, much the same way that Kim Jong-il and his father did.
Well, actually, I lived in Cuba for about 6 years in the past. And, you know, they turned it into being, you know, atheist country, most likely.
Right.
Although they were Catholics, you know, previously they were Catholics, but...
Okay, Nico, I'm sorry, we're really short on time right now.
You bet.
Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your perspective.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, that was awesome. That was, we literally have machine gun bullet callers at the end of the show. This has been great. So I think the last, we've only got a couple minutes here, but I think the point that I really wanted to get to, which was, we say it at the top of the show that we're about skepticism, and skeptical towards the God claim. Yes, we're atheists. That's why we're here. But, you know, if someone were to say to me, oh, well, the reason why, you know, you always see those traffic signs and, you know, the stop signs, and they always have those bullet holes in them, it's not because of crazy drunk rednecks, it's because aliens like to come down and take target practice on there.
Yeah.
It's the same, the reflex to believe stuff like the, oh, yes, we're gonna need to read the credits out. So, we are about to end the show here, and we apologize. What's that? Oh, yes, you wanna meet us at the show at Mandarin Gate, that's at Aurora and 100th. And we're going to have to give the shout out to the crew here because our VT5 system is down. So it's goodbye for – thank you so much, Scott, for coming on and bearing through this craziness. Our director today was the indomitable Cameron Fuller, and backed up by our amazing technical director, Sam Mulvey. Thank you guys so much for doing it. We know you've had to work in a tight, tight spot. Floor director Mike Gillis, Brent Bartlett is our sound engineer, and of course, as always, Bob Seidensticker, who is our general go-to guy for just about everything, call screener Becky Friedman, and then lastly, of course, Scott Leopold. Thank you so much for doing it.
Okay.
And I suppose we are out, are we? We're not sure. We'll keep going until
I'm just as skeptical toward atheists who say there is no God as people
right. Oh, yes. We should mention that we also have a voicemail. If you try to call us from 5 minutes from now, no one's going to pick up the phone. So the voicemail is 206-420-0997. You can call us, leave us a message. All the producers will get it, and we might even use it as a topic in the show. We're going to keep going until Scan shuts us down. So, this has been by far the hairiest, episode we've had so far. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Don't be dogmatic.
Bye.
Take care.